Hello and welcome to a new How Did You Make It? The podcast in which we explore each step that has built the career path of various professionals through the discovery of their habits, passions, and interests over the last few decades. I'm Yusra, your host, and today we meet Laurence. Laurence is from Belgium and currently lives in London. Laurence worked in tech and now for a hedge fund, but he actually studied chemical engineering. Intriguing, right? What is inspiring about Laurence's path is his drive. Studying engineering is difficult? Okay, I'll go for it. Need to find a job? Okay, let me apply everywhere. Yes, everywhere. Even if it requires a visa, let me try it. Laurence does not only walk you through his journey, he inspires you to follow his bold steps. Let's learn from him. Hello, Laurence, and welcome to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about you.
Thank you. Very happy to be here. I think we were speaking before. I mentioned I really enjoy listening to podcasts, so it's really fun to be on one. My name is Laurence. I am from Belgium originally. I lived there for most of my life. But as I started my first job, I moved to a different country while I was studying. I also did a year abroad. My background is in engineering, but I've done a little bit of everything in my professional career, ranging from consulting to big tech and now working at hedge funds. A few curveballs there, but I've learned a lot along the road and hope to share some of that today.
Thank you, Laurence. And before starting talking about your whole life, let's start with your definition of success.
It's a hard question to answer. It will be a little bit different for everyone. I think for me personally, it's been balancing sort of short-term happiness with long-term happiness. So I think people tend to veer one way or the other where they either only care about how they feel right now and they optimize for the short term. And some people, they push everything on the long term. They work very, very long hours. They work very hard. And there is merit in both of them. And it's trying to balance those things. I think it's very difficult. And it's something that I'm actively trying to do where I try to learn a lot. So I try to do difficult things. But at the same time, I'm very aware that, you know, I'm 30 at the moment. I should also enjoy my life, right? So can I balance a challenging career with also being happy in the moment? I think for me, that is sort of what I've been working towards the past few years. And yeah, I think balancing that well for me is success.
Yeah. Life is a constant challenge asking you, what do you want to prioritize?
Yeah, I think we're sort of told that when you come out of college, you should just grind. Like, especially if you choose a career in, let's say, finance, something like investment banking is known to have very excruciating hours. Oh, you know, you're young, you have the energy, you can just grind. And before you realize you're 40, you're old and you haven't enjoyed the last 20 years of your life. So I think there is a merit in applying yourself. But I think, balancing is not something people tell you to do a lot. So it's something that I try to do and I've become more aware of over the past few years.
Let's now go back in time and discuss your early teenage years, your middle school years. What kind of student were you? What interests did you have? Any passions? Any extracurricular activities? What can you share with us?
I think in middle school, I was quite different from how I am now. I think I lived off of my impulses a little bit, much more, I think, as most kids do. And I was very, very energetic. I really liked certain subjects like maths, but I struggled to sort of sit down and just listen to a teacher teach classes much more so than I did later on in life. So I think in middle school, it was a little bit chaotic still. I think I was fortunate enough to have sort of a good way with maths and sciences, which helped me along the way. But it's something that trickled over into high school as well, right up until the moment for me until I reached university, which is a different animal altogether, right? So I think what I enjoyed was not so much the languages, but much more actually logical thinking. I found myself, that's one of the few courses where I could really get lost in.
Do you remember why you were more interested in math and logical classes rather than others?
It's hard to say why. I really like the aspect of finding, I guess it's either true or false, mm-hmm. right? It's binary, whereas other things are a bit more, opaque, like a little bit more murky. You don't know really what is the right answer, whereas it's very straightforward and it's logical. And I think that's something I've always enjoyed, especially later down life when I did engineering. It's something I really enjoyed doing. But we'll come back to that later.
What about your extracurricular activities? What were you doing after school or on weekends?
Yeah, I think this is actually, that's a good point. I did a really, really wide range of extracurriculars. I think every day I had almost two hobbies. So I did football, tennis, judo, drawing, scouts. And then on the weekends, I would often do like tournaments as well. So I came home from school and I was out all day after, which really helped. I really think this is great to just, I guess, one just expose your brain to different environments. And you don't have to do it just when you're 12. I think having these hobbies that sort of prickle like different parts of your brain helps you at all stages. I actually still try to do new things at this day and age. Something I did a little bit less when I went to uni. I think that's normal, but I'm trying to pick that back up.
Do you remember what you liked doing the most? And do you have any takeaways from your school years? What do you think stick with you during all those years?
Values, I'm not too... I think maybe the scouts, yes. I think it helps you. Yeah, I mean, you have this concept of like patrouille. The patrouille, I'm not sure how you say it in French. Maybe it's very similar. But you get opportunities to show leadership from a young age, right? So you become responsible for your small team, even at the young age of, let's say, 12 or at 13. And it's the first time you come in contact with these concepts, whereas if you don't do that, you would never, ever do this until you work. So I think some stuff like that, also being in nature and doing stuff hands-on, I think is always a good balance with, I think, today, this day and age. I mean, everything's very digital, right? So I think balancing those things out is always good. Yeah, in terms of values as well, I think you meet people at the Scouts also from all walks of life. So you're not really grouped with just people from your neighborhood. I mean, like from your school doing the same the courses as you. So I think it's a great way to just like get in touch with different people.
Yes, and you create a community for yourself, which could be life-changing for teenagers who haven't managed to find their communities within the school doors. What about sports? I know at that age you don't think about takeaways and values you're learning. And we both know how sports values can take you far in life. Anything you can share with us?
That's a good point. I mean, I was always very competitive. And I think one thing that's, I mean, if you play tennis every week and you go to competition, I think what you learn is you learn discipline, practicing every week to have long-term benefits. And that's something that comes back later as well. Unconsciously, that's been built in, that if you practice for many years, you'll become better, you'll see the results, but you need to put in the hours.
Learning discipline, consistency, and the idea of progressing through a long period of time at such a young age is incredible. If you're listening to us and you're not sure about signing up to a new sport, just go for it. Just imagine how you'll be preparing yourself for the new challenges that life will bring you. And understanding that nothing comes easy, but if you do put the work, you do put the action, you will move closer to where you want to be and where you want to go. Can you tell us more about your late teenage years, high school years? Were you still interested in the same subjects?
Yeah, my high school years, I think, were similar to my middle school years. To be honest, not too much changed. I think I was exposed to more courses. I really liked history, aside from maths and sciences. I, for a long time, was considering studying history instead of chemical engineering. I think the reason I didn't is because I was thinking a little bit more logically again. It was like, okay, well, I really enjoy history, but does that mean it has to be my career? I think I landed on the ladder, right? It doesn't need to be my career. I think it's also maybe something people always say, follow your dreams. I don't want to say don't, but I'm also thinking, just because you enjoy a subject doesn't mean you want to do that as a career. So you should really envisage like, okay, if I like exercising, does that mean I would enjoy being a PT, or would that mean I would enjoy being a fitness instructor? Not necessarily. So always try to think one step further. And I think if you can combine something you're really passionate about with your job, that's perfect. But I think you should always also try to lean into your strengths, because that often is things you like. Like, I like mathematical thinking, so I do a job where I do that type of thinking. So I might not care about the industry, but I care about how I'm thinking day to day. Yeah, I think other than that, high school, I felt quite grateful again. I wasn't too stressed out during my high school years. I figured that I would probably go into engineering, probably because I wanted to prove something. It was known as a difficult degree. And I think at that age, everyone's a little bit insecure. So was I. And I wanted to prove something to the world, like I can do it. I'm not saying that's the best way to go about choosing your degree, but I'm quite happy I did it because it was something hard. I tried to do something hard, and you shouldn't be afraid to do that. You should always try. You can always do something else after. So I think it was sort of setting me up for that. I didn't really get too much advice on what to do. Maybe a gentle nudge from my parents. But to be honest, it was my own decision at the end of the day. And I was simply going with what am I good at? Should I do that? And I knew with engineering afterwards, you can do many different things. You don't have to be an engineer. So I think maybe a risk-averse approach for myself, whereas I pick something that later on I can still change my mind. So yeah.
This is a very interesting approach. Not thinking about the industry, but the work you will be delivering, meaning what the job will ask from you, what your manager will ask from you. I know it's so far away from your reality, but in your case, being able to use the logical thinking exercise that you like. And you know what? Nothing or no one will stop you from changing your mind down the line. We actually are both surrounded people who are now part-time teachers in school, university, or sport classes, actually. What we're missing growing up is to hear that you will be able to do different things if you're interested in different things. Lawrence, you were mentioning how you were insecure when you were younger. How do you build the confidence to still go for what is labeled as difficult studies?
My grades were, I would say, decent. They weren't anything special. My grades in high school, the thing is, again, in Belgium, you don't need to have great grades to get into the top university. You can just enroll in it. And the way they do it is they make the exams quite hard. So at the end of the day, only half the people go through the second year, etc. So in high school, I never really had to apply myself too much. So my grades were decent, but I knew there was a lot more in there. But to be honest, I was not sure. Like I was a bit scared because everybody tells you, even teachers tell you, like, I'm not sure it's for you. And it sort of made me want to prove it even more. I wouldn't say I was super confident at all. I think confidence, for me at least, came from doing it and knowing, like, okay, well, I studied hard for it and I was able to do it. But for me, it was a huge shock from high school to uni because I went from not studying or barely studying at all to, like, now having zero supervision and having to prove myself, right? So I don't recommend you do that. I think it's better to learn at a younger age, like some discipline, because motivation will come and go, right? You might be super motivated one day, but discipline is something that takes a long time to build. So I was definitely a bit caught out at first. I made it through, but I was not set up for success the same way as some of my peers were that had been, like, more regimented in high school. And that's something that I had to learn. But again, the confidence part is something I really built. I wouldn't feel bad if you're not confident. Like, let's say you're 17, 18. It's very, nobody's really confident. People are faking, or most people are faking at least. So confidence you build it yourself. And you need to also, like, allow yourself to congratulate yourself and say, like, yeah, I did it. And, like, let your confidence build over time.
Just to pick up on something that you said that your peers had more discipline than you did. Mm-hmm. But don't you think that your upbringing did prepare you for this? Don't you think you still have strong foundations? Your discipline was built thanks to all the sports and scouts and everything that you were doing when you were younger, right?
Yeah, it's hard to say, I guess. I think the discipline was definitely there. I think the discipline for me was that I enjoyed doing hard things, or at least trying to accomplish hard things. And so I didn't mind, like, if something is very difficult, to spend a lot of time on it over and over, and knowing that it might not pay off. I think trying many different things allows me to be a little bit more open to that from a young age. If you do music, drawing, scouts, and different sports, it will be less scary to, again, do something new. It's maybe something that helped me as well down the line to move abroad. But that being said, you need to be, I guess, you just need to take the leap, I think, and shut off your brain and just go for it, I think. And there is a million things telling you don't do it. Say, pick the safe option. But sometimes, especially if you're young, I think just do it. Like, just try hard stuff. That's one thing I would say. And like, you can always, you're not going to, I mean, it's not going to ruin your life, right? So I think that we over index for like what could happen if it doesn't work out rather than, failing instead of like, well, actually, if it doesn't work out, nothing really happens. Like, it's fine. So yeah, I think that also helps with confidence. Also on the work floor, knowing that the worst that can happen isn't that bad. Like, it really, really isn't. So just go for it.
Couldn't agree more. There are two takeaways here. First, try new activities as soon as possible, because then, as Lawrence, you would be able to just won't mind spending a lot of time working on hard things, even if it doesn't pay off, and accepting failures as learnings. And the second point is seeing everything as opportunities, not focusing on what could go wrong. And did you receive any crucial advice during your teenage years? Did you have any mentor at that time?
I would say overall it's something I missed a little bit. I will say that having a mentor should be a two-way street. Like, you should also actively look for it. But to be honest, I was not very proactive with it. I wasn't lucky enough to have someone that I was like, okay, this person is something that I can emulate myself after. I think that would have helped me a lot. So I think it's an advice I would give to people. Like, if you're thinking of a mentor, think about some people that are having a career or have a life that you aspire, and just reach out. You'd be surprised how willing people are to help. I would be more than willing to help someone reach out to me. So I think that's one part. There was one person, I think, that helped me decide on my degree. And it's, again, someone who told me like, oh, you did engineering as well. And he said, just try it. Like, honestly, you'd be surprised how far you can make it. And he said also like, what's the worst that can happen? And that sort of gave me the final push to say like, okay, let's just go for it.
And now you're asking yourself, how can I find a mentor? And that's the million euro question. I think it really depends on your situation. Sometimes you can find those people around you in a circle. It can be a family member, a friend of a family member, or it gets a little bit more challenging. But you can ask advice through teachers. And if they're not helpful for some reason, try to reach out to older students. And if you can't find someone, watching content online on YouTube, TikTok can help already. I do believe it's easier to find a mentor when you get to uni. There are more opportunities there. And let's deep dive into your uni years, Lawrence. How did you make it to your engineering program? You said you didn't need to pass a test to get in, but the program is challenging enough to make its own selection throughout the years, right?
You can kind of just rock up almost, but you can very quickly tell that university tries to, call almost the people who aren't serious or who are not going to be right for the course. So it had a really reputation of being like, okay, it's going to be very hard to pass the exams, etc. So I think I showed up. It was a little bit of a shock because it was just pure like symbols. There was no text, right? It was very math heavy. And for me, it taught me to sort of sit on your own and just work through problems slowly on your own time. You can go a long way, and gave me a lot of confidence afterwards, knowing that you can throw anything at me, I'll be able to make it through, because I was able to do XYZ in engineering. And it really, really helped with my confidence levels, I think, being successful throughout that. But also, it's not for everyone. I think it was a very theoretical degree that I did. You also had more applied degrees. So a bunch of people did that as well, which I think is also the right way to do it. I think the theoretical aspect of it, I really enjoyed. I think it's just something that aligns to my thinking. And I think overall, the engineering years, I think for me, it was setting me up down the line in terms of taking very big problems, breaking them down is something you often need to do for exams, and just being like hyper logical in your reasoning. And that's something I use to this day. And it makes you not afraid to ask questions when you're tackling a project, et cetera, because you're just following a logical reasoning. It was not easy, but I'm very, very happy I did it. Even though I'm not an engineer today, I'm very happy I did it. So the first year and a half is general engineering, and then you can sort of choose your subjects after that. I kind of, again, went with the ones that I was getting the best grades in, which was chemistry. So I ended up doing chemical engineering. But I very quickly realized, although I really enjoyed studying it, I did a few projects with a Dow Chemical Company, et cetera, that you have to do also in your master's program, where you do some hands-on engineering projects. And I really didn't enjoy those. I think both the environment that you're in was a bit stuffy, not very innovative. Those companies do exist. I'm not saying they don't. But secondly, I think you're often not, unless you're doing research or very highly technological pieces, you're not doing the stuff you're learning in the classroom. You're doing more basic stuff, at least the stuff that I was doing. So for me, it was not really a fit. I already knew that. But knowing that in engineering, I was like probably going to explore other stuff.
So did you hear that? First, Laurent's approach is very clear. He chose the path where he had the best grades. And secondly, he quickly realized, thanks to our hands-on experience, that it was not the thing that he enjoyed because of the specific experiences that he had. Laurent, can you explain us your studying approach? How did you manage to have those grades? Were you studying hard after each day, week? What was your strategy?
So what my strategy was is I didn't find the classes useful at all, because the subject matter was often too dense to understand, especially in engineering. And to be honest, the professors weren't great at explaining what they were doing. So I often, especially in the first year, skipped class and would digest the material on my own. Now, I'm not saying I recommend that. I think a lot of, if you have a good professor, they can be very helpful. But it's just also what I learned I was good at just digesting materials on my own. So I would tend to backload a lot of the work until, like, we just have one exam per semester, that's it. So for the last 2 months, I would just lock myself up and just study from morning till the evening and just get through it. I did a little bit of work, obviously, throughout the year, but I would recommend to obviously spread it out more. But I would say just find out what works for you, because for me, this worked. I really enjoyed doing this stuff on my own, working through the maths on my own. Other people might like the classrooms, the interactions with other people. Don't just conform to what most people do. Like, try to figure out, okay, this is how I'm able to progress. I think my approach does not work for a lot of other people. I think it was also the university I went to, there was very little supervision. They just want you to show up for the exam and see and then you just get a grade. That's it. So that obviously is that works for some people, but doesn't for others, right? So yeah, that was my strategy, really. I think, like, leaning into what I enjoyed and how I found that I was learning best.
Two brilliant takeaways here. First, find your learning approach. Second, put the work after your classes. Something was not clear and you were not able to ask your teacher. Do your own research. You think you're not ready for the exam and the subject is super complex. Look for more opportunities to study through different materials and empower yourself to ace the exam. Don't give up.
Yeah, sorry. The reason I mentioned it as well is because people, they would go to class, barely pay attention, and then just in their back of their mind, they say, like, okay, I went to class. Great. I'm like keeping up to with everything. I was like, no, you're not. Probably didn't understand what the professor was saying, because it's really, really difficult to understand. And I found for some class, it was better to just take an hour and look at it myself. And then you can ask questions to your friend groups afterwards. But it's like this taking exercise of just going to class, I would try to avoid falling into that trap, because a lot of people do.
Absolutely. I think a question you can ask yourself is, are you able to explain what the professor just taught you in simple words to someone who has never heard of that subject before, to a younger sibling or a family member? And if the answer is no, you probably need to put that extra hour in to make sure that you will be ready for the exam. And you cannot blame the professor for not being clear or not liking his or her teaching style. And this advice is actually applicable to any major, not only engineering. During your first years of uni, did you have to do an internship or anything similar to that?
So I never really did like a chemical engineering internship outside of the built-in programs. I would say that's probably a side effect of me not really having a mentor or not really knowing what I wanted to do. I think at the time, I was just thinking, if I get a degree in engineering, I'll be fine. That's sort of what people told me. So it was a bit of a shock to me. Like, I think I noticed this about 2.5 years in. I went to this internship fair and I was speaking to a lot of people. And it was the first time that I was exposed to all these companies, like, for instance, consultancy. I didn't even know what consultancy was, right? I was 20. You have people that know it at 12, they want to work at McKinsey, right? So for those who don't know, McKinsey is like a very well-known, prestigious consulting firm. So for me, it was the first time coming in touch with this. And I was thinking, oh my God, okay, there's this whole world that I don't know. I need to start educating myself because no one was telling me really. And I felt like I was already way behind some of the other people. Again, I hadn't been proactive enough trying to figure this stuff out, being in the right types of student clubs, things like that. So I think for me, that was a sort of an eye opener. And what I did from there on out is I joined loads of student organizations where I did student consulting with companies. I did courses on like business, et cetera, to sort of add to my purely engineering degree. I was like, yeah, I need to practice some soft skills. So I did loads of those as well. Student organization called Academics for Companies. And that was, I really, really enjoyed that because it was for me the first time I found some other like-minded people. And they knew a lot more about just companies in general and what the options are for your career and the importance of like sort of building your story. So for me, I would say, even if you don't like it, it's worth exploring and joining a few student organizations and just seeing what comes out of it. And you can always switch, try different ones out, but try not to just isolate yourself to the degree. Like the degree is important, obviously, but it's only half the story. And I feel like I realized that way too late.
I couldn't agree more. Joining student association could change your career path down the line. For the students who have part-time jobs and are already swamped between classes and those part-time jobs, I still want to advise you to try to find half an hour per week where you could still join those student associations. I know I'm asking you to go above and beyond, but just imagine that you will get to understand also what the jobs are out there. And as Lorenz just said, you could meet some like-minded people who can support you today and in the future.
Yeah, I think finding a few people there that may be a little bit older than you that you can speak to. I think the first step is exploring what even exists. And then if there's a few things that interest you, then you can start strategizing about what you need to do to get there. But don't skip ahead of that first step where people, they join on something in consulting. It's like, okay, I'm going to become a consultant. So I am. There's more things out there. So yeah, explore a lot, I would say. Speak to people who've been through it. Build your story around you as well. What interests you? How does that shine outside of your grades? What are some things where you've shown leadership? Things like that. These questions come up in interviews all the time. And if you haven't had a first job yet, all the attention goes to your extracurriculars. Like, you're not going to talk in an interview about your grades, right? So you need to have something to talk about in your interview. So make sure that you beef that up a little bit, basically.
Exactly. And something I would like to add as well, actually 2 points. First, those extracurricular activities will help you understand what you like doing or not. Which is connected to my second point, is that you will learn from the experiences of graduates, professionals. Those associations go beyond the uni doors. They give you insights on what is out there. You can also discover jobs you've never heard of. Lorenz, can you tell us a little bit more about your master's program and your experience there?
Yeah, so once you go into your master's program, you even do this, I think, in your third bachelor year, if I'm not mistaken, you get a certain amount of study points and you spend with a team. You go with a company, and these are fairly big companies, to be honest, like it's a great opportunity, and you solve a problem for them. And it depends on like what the problem is, but you would often use some simulation tools or whatnot, and you would have a problem statements. You do some research, you do some problem solving, and then you present it back in front of the classroom, and people will ask you questions. So I think it's a great way to explore what it's like to work at one of those companies. It can also skew your view a little bit. I think most industries are very wide, so I would say don't be scared off by one bad experience. you can find innovative companies in each industry. But the way they structured is, yeah, I would say the very, very bulk of the degree is very heavy theoretical courses. And then in the later years, especially the master program, you do a lot more hands-on stuff, which was fun on one hand, but I really didn't enjoy it that much personally. And then my final year, I did a study abroad program for 1 year in America. And that for me was half a year pure lab work and thesis and half a year of courses. So that gave me some insight into what research would be like. And then I was offered a sort of a doctorate position there, but I really didn't enjoy the research bit. So yeah, said politely no to that and went on.
So even if you didn't like it much, you still were very good at it. Can you tell us why you didn't like it?
I think the part that I enjoyed about it was, again, I really enjoyed the research part of it, like the thinking, setting up the experiments, etc. But what I really don't like is you were very much at the mercy of your results, and results can go wrong for any number of reasons. I was doing research on something called block copolymer micelles, which are nano-sized drug delivery vehicles. So they are like little capsules for nano-sized drugs, and they can enter tumors, so they can be used for treating cancers. So because they're very small, if one dust particle gets into your vial, the whole thing's ruined. So 6 months of hard work and it just go to waste. And I really, really didn't enjoy that constant stress, hard work that doesn't always pay off. I think I showed like the right attitude and I was very disciplined. I think I was good at what I was doing, but I mean, I very quickly realized it's not for me. And also in the US, the industry around doctoral researches is very intense. You get paid very little. Professors are very highly demanding. Let's just say that. And so I think the combination of that for me meant that it was not right for me.
Thank you for sharing. And I do have a question on your move to the US. How do you build the confidence to move?
You don't. I think I was so unbelievably nervous, especially that there is in Europe, you have this thing called Erasmus. So it's very common for people to move to a different country in Europe and for a semester or a year. And you usually have a whole group that's going and there's international vibes, right? So it's quite nice. But the student exchange program I was doing wasn't under that. So it was me and one other person from Belgium I didn't know, but we just went there and there was no program. So I was very nervous about it. But I lived in the same city my whole life and I was like, okay, I should really just try this. Why don't I just, I mean, it's 1 year. What's the worst that can happen? I really wanted to move abroad for some time. And I was always talking about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm all talk. Let's just try it. So I did it. And the first week was like the first 3 days, we were horrible because I was so nervous. I didn't have a cell phone, not a bank account, anything. My roommates it was a bit weird. But a week in, I would say, all of that had already vanished. So I think you need to accept that no one's really confident when they do this thing. You just have to try hard stuff and do it. And it is the most rewarding. For me, it was the most rewarding experience ever. It was like completely life-changing for me. I think it really opened my eyes to be like, okay, wow, the world is bigger than where I'm from. I really liked living in Belgium, but this really opened my eyes. And what I learned was, I mean, you become a lot more self-sufficient. You learn to be on your own, to be honest. Take care of yourself. It's a great learning curve. You learn a lot about yourself. I mean, there will be lonely days, obviously, right? So you're moving to a new country. Like, you don't have your friends there. So you have to accept that it's not always going to be easy. There will be lonely times, but that's okay. You will get through that. And not everyone enjoys this, but then at least you will never be wondering like, oh, what if I moved to America? I would have loved it. Yeah, I would have had the time of my life, but I never tried, right? At least you'll know like, yeah, it wasn't for me. Didn't really work out. That's okay. That's completely fine. We really have this thing where we think like, oh, if it doesn't work out, it'll be horrible. Like, no, it really, really isn't. I have said it before, but that's if it is one message I can give is to just try hard stuff. I think it was a super positive experience. And that's also when I came back to Belgium after, I was like, okay, I need to apply for a job abroad because I want to do this again. I want to explore new spaces. And I think I would recommend everyone to at least move abroad for like 6 months of your life just to see what's out there. There's nothing to lose. There's everything to gain, I would say.
Couldn't agree more. And we are very lucky in Europe. there are so many opportunities to move abroad. And if you're thinking, how am I going to finance it? There are so many scholarships you can apply for. They might be challenging to get, but you can get some. You also have paid programs. Keep in mind that some of them are based on your motivation, but others, like scholarships, are based on your grades as well. I would recommend you to reach out to anyone in your uni who is in charge of those programs, of connecting you, of giving you information about those. And if you can't find anyone, just start with your professors and look into Erasmus programs. And again, don't give up. Don't be discouraged by the work it can require from you to get those.
The cliche thing you hear all the time, but I'm going to say it anyway, is like when they ask people on their deathbed, their regrets are never the things they did. It's the things they didn't do. So there you go. A little quote.
That's a great call. Keep that in mind if you're hesitating about anything in life. During your study years, what would you have done differently?
I would probably study the same thing. I'm happy I did. I would have liked to have known earlier the importance of doing things besides studying. It didn't hinder me too much in the end, or maybe it did, I don't know. But I would have loved to have been involved in all those things earlier, not just to build my story. I really did enjoy it, and I really enjoyed the people I met there, built this very strong network to this day. But I just was simply not aware that this is something you need to do. I think there's many people who are not aware. I mean, maybe there's a bit more know-how around this now, but when I started uni, I had no clue. So I think that's probably one thing. The other part would be, I would have liked to have been more proactive in finding maybe a mentor, someone who's a couple of years older, who can like explain to me how these things work, where to apply, how to prepare for those things as well. But I think in the student organizations, you can usually find people like that. So.
Thank you, Lawrence. So now let's jump into your career. Can you tell us how you started? What did you do?
When I came back I finished my degree in the US and I came back and I had no clue what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do something with technology because I was thinking I enjoy it, but I also think it's the future. I mean, I didn't have to be a genius back then to think that. But I wanted something fast-paced. I wanted something that's a company that had a lot of young people as well that felt dynamic and maybe a knee-jerk reaction to some of the projects I did at the chemical companies, right? And the second part is I wanted to move abroad. So when I came back to Belgium, I took like 2 or 3 months traveling. I visited my friend in Taiwan. He was studying there. So I lived there for a month and a half with him. It's really fun. Came back home, had literally zero money left in my bank account. So I was like, okay, I got to find a job. My parents were also like, look, we're not going to just keep supporting you. Do you need to find a job, right? So I started thinking about, okay, what do I want to do? And I just applied for jobs all over the world. Mostly in Europe, I would say. Like, I applied a lot to London and Paris, actually. So in another life, you know, I could have moved to Paris. Well, some of my friends did. Maybe my French would be decent. Anyway, so I applied to a lot of jobs in all over Europe. I applied to some jobs in Australia even. Like, it was pretty like spray and pray. But I had identified that I wanted to do a little bit more in the business area and at the intersection of business and tech. So at the end, after a few months, I interviewed with IBM and with Microsoft at the time. Those were the first two that reached out, which were both in London or surrounding areas. And I really liked the people I met at IBM. It was a lot of young, interesting, smart people. It seemed very varied. In the type of work that they were doing. It was in the middle of London and I was like, okay, this is really cool. It was like right by the London Eye. I was like, oh my God, you know, big city. I come from a very small town. So I was like, oh my God, you know. I mean, we all have that dream when we're young. And I mean, they dreamed really well. I got the job offer. They were the first one to give me a job offer. Microsoft was, I think they also realized I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So they were like, oh, come back in 6 months to apply for a sales role. But I was not really that interested in it. So I ended up going for IBM right after they offered it to me. Just took the leap of faith, to be honest. And I honestly didn't have a great opinion of London at first. I was like, not sure how I feel about London, but it's a city where the longer you live, the more you like it. And yeah, my mentality going into it was, I'll go there for a year or two, see if I like it. And if it sucks, then I can just come home, right? It's only a Eurostar away. And yeah, I'm still here. So I would say a success story. That's how I decided to land with IBM. my experience there was, I would say, overall quite good. I think the cool aspect of it was they were hiring a lot of graduates. So it was almost like you were back at university. Every month there was like 20 new people joining. And you join with your cohort. You go for 3 weeks to do like the onboarding, form really close bonds. For me, it was great to make friends because when I moved to London, I know zero people. So again, a little bit scary because I knew it's harder to make friends in a big city if you're not studying. That was really fun. I met lots of fun people, mostly British people. It wasn't as international as I thought it would be. The work itself, I stayed for about 3 years, and I think I did a new project every, let's say, 4 to 6 months or so. So it's kind of like not having a new job, but not too far from it, every 6 months. New team, new people, new clients, new destination. I was traveling a lot within the UK to then staying in a hotel to go visit the clients and work on a problem with them.
Pausing here, this is where not putting a limit to yourself can lead to. If you didn't catch how Lawrence started sharing his experience, is that he sat down and applied everywhere. If you are remotely okay with moving abroad or want to take that leap, visa or no visa, just try. Something can work out and you can end up having the experience you want and need.
Yeah, I'm happy I did it. I think I came back from America and my head was in the clouds, right? So I was like, the sky's the limit, just apply everywhere. Obviously, it made it easier in Europe because of the visa situation. But nonetheless, you would be surprised. Some companies are willing to sponsor the rights if you have the right skill set. So don't let that take away from it either. My experience working at IBM, I think this is sort of a theme in my career. My degree was very technical. I wanted to do a little bit more business. And then once I started doing more business stuff, I was like, do I miss the technical bits? Like the classic is the grass is always greener, that thing, right? So I've always done like that bit of both where I wanted to combine technical, non-technical work. It ended up being mostly non-technical, I would say. I learned a lot. I think consulting is a very popular first job, but I really, and maybe I drank the Kool-Aid, I think it's a great first job to have because you just get thrown into so many situations. You learn so much. You get exposed to so many industries. It's not the same as working in each of those industries, but it really, really is a very steep learning curve. You'll get lots of experiences. And yeah, you can leave after 2 years. If you already know what you want to do, obviously you don't have to do that. But for me, it was perfect because, I mean, to this day, I'm not 100% sure what I want to do for the rest of my life. So it was a great way to meet lots of young, interesting, smart people. Try different things, different types of work, different industries, like very, very broad. I was aligned to mostly because of my engineering background in energy and utilities and oil and gas. And the type of work I did was a bit of a mix of, I would say, some delivery, agile delivery, a little bit of product management, a little bit of project management, and more towards the latter part of my career, a little bit in data. That's when I started to think more about, maybe I want to do something a bit more technical again. And that sort of also led me to leave IBM as well. I spent a lot of time in hotels across the country, which is fun in the first week. And then you get bored of it because you want to be in London with your friends. So I think overall, it was a great experience. Very happy I did it. And I still, some of my best friends from IBM, I still meet with them. So I think your first job usually is quite special. So I can highly recommend doing something similar, a graduate scheme at a larger corporation that can give you many different opportunities equally. I think working for a startup could be really cool, but this is just my personal experience.
Great insights. I've never been a consultant, but I did hear two things. First, that it's quite intense, but that if you're remotely lost and you don't know what to do, you will be learning so much about so many different industries, as Lawrence mentioned. Another takeaway we have from Lawrence here is that he was able to juggle and change his mind on what he wanted to do at a specific time of his life. So at some point, he wanted to do something more business-like and then technical. So if I can share advice here, is to study something technical to have this freedom to change from one and the other. As you can see, from the experience Lawrence shared is that he did something related to project management, all those things he learned on the ground. And I think you can too. But if you want to do something technical, then you'll have to start from the ground up, meaning that you'll have to either self-study or do a whole degree, meaning that it will be challenging to just seize that technical opportunity. I'm sure some of you can learn on the go, but getting that opportunity with a new job to be trusted to work on technical things when you have no background in that might be difficult. What do you think?
It's interesting you say that. When I was picking my degree, either like it was like the classical engineering, or you have this thing called business engineering, which is like mostly business with a few maths, whatever. The person who advised me was like, look, you can just do engineering and you can learn the business after pretty quickly. Like, but it's very hard to go the opposite way. So I agree. I think university is a great place to learn hard skills. Again, not everyone is akin to hard skills, right? So if that's not your thing, then obviously not. But if you're doubting between those, I think I would lean towards learning hard skills. You can even do some student organizations, what I did, to pick up soft skills, how to do presenting, how to do a PowerPoint, right? But also you learn those on the job. Like, employers don't really care for a graduate that you're great at presenting. Like, this is something that they know you can learn, pick up. So yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that.
And if you're asking yourself, are technical roles something that I'm interested in? All the tech companies have been sharing free courses online. And also you have so many resources from YouTube to TikTok to any kind of platforms. So it's never too late. We just want to raise awareness if you're debating between the two, like Lawrence was.
I did it recently as well when I was at Meta, right? So which is the next company. In the last year or so, I really got the urge, like, I want to do more technical stuff. I took a bunch of courses. I did a lot of side projects on machine learning and analytics, which then massively helped also with my current role. It did help that I had some of it in engineering, but it's never too late to take these things up. I work with colleagues now. Some of them studied history and are now like the smartest engineers I know. So yeah.
Perfect example. So here we go. So go for those skills if you're interested in them. I'm curious, Lawrence, how much were you paid when you started at IBM?
Graduate salaries in London have always been really poor. I started on, this is pounds, 30,000, which in London is very difficult to live off of. So I was basically paycheck to paycheck for the first year and a half, I would say. I don't think that's changed. I think maybe this is typical for London, is like, the beginning is hard, but the more senior positions make it worth it. So you're gonna have to stick with it. But obviously, it doesn't really help when you're still junior. So I started on 30. Then after a year, I made my first promotion. And you go to 38, I think it was, and then a year later, I went to 55. So you can see in 2 years it doubles already, and that trajectory can easily keep going like that. So I wouldn't. I really would say don't worry too much about your salary in your first few years. So think more about your long-term career trajectory and what the long-term financial benefits could be. Like, you should never base your decisions based on that. So yeah, I think that this was 7 years ago. I'm sure it's probably still the same salary, to be honest, and inflation has been crazy. So I think these days graduates have it even harder. So don't feel bad if you have a graduate salary and you're like struggling to make ends meet. It's super normal. I wasn't too stressed at the time because I knew it would get better. But it can be a bit stressful from time to time, right? Like, if you only have one paycheck left, that's also, it teaches you to handle money, right? So there's a learning in everything.
Always. So what did you want to do next?
I want to try something else. I want to work not in the services industry, so not in consulting anymore. So I wanted to work for tech companies, either I would say like late stage scale-ups, something like Deliveroo, or big tech companies like Meta. So I applied to a bunch of companies. I was interviewing with TikTok as well when I got the job. Well, no, it was right before I got the job with Meta. So I think also that for me personally, I think this is very common. The brand name really was really alluring. Not ashamed to admit that. I think it's very common, right? Especially early in your career, I was very much thinking, okay, I need to get some brand names so that afterwards I can take some risks and I can fall back on those. Yeah, I'm not saying that's the best approach, but this A approach, it's maybe a little bit more risk averse, but still quite happy I did it. The biggest part of Meta was that I had to move to Ireland. But I knew that I could move back to London. They kind of told me in an interview, like, we're going to allow you to move back, etc. And for me, it was like just another leap, to be honest. I really wanted to leave IBM. I spoke to a few people before I joined Meta. I messaged them on LinkedIn who had done the role before, especially in like my team. They all were like, yeah, they had a great time and they did it. And they said that they had quite a lot of freedom to do projects that they enjoyed. So I was like, okay, perfect, fine. I wanted to do technical work and I was doing a lot of non-technical work and I was doing both. But I was thinking, okay, I was doing all these courses on the side on machine learning and analytics. And I was thinking, okay, well, why do I keep dipping my toes in? Why don't I just try it like an actual technical role? So that was on my mind, I think, for the last year or so when I was at Meta and I was doing these courses. And to be honest, it ended up being that a company reached out to me whilst I was also applying for some startups. So that sort of was a natural progression for me from IBM trying to go in-house to Meta in Ireland and then back in London. And then sort of thinking, okay, well, I've been thinking about going into a more technical route for so long. Why don't I just give it a go? And so my career does look like it's like flipping from side to side, but I do not regret that. I think I am also still young. The opportunity is the lowest it will be for me now. And the benefit of finding out what you like is much better than, I think some people, they pick a career and they stick with it for the rest of their lives for no reason. Like, okay, I ended up somehow in insurance, nothing wrong with insurance, but then they're like, yeah, well, I know insurance, and they stay there for the rest of their lives. I really don't like that. So I think fail fast is also, I think, one of Meta's move fast or whatever it is. Yeah, or fail fast. I think that's a great way to approach things. Reflecting a little bit more on my time at Meta, I think joining was difficult because it was COVID. So it was difficult to meet people. Did you join in the same? Yeah. So the first 2 months were like really dreadful because you're just sitting in your hotel room. You're new to the city, didn't know anyone. And I think once the office opened, I really enjoyed it. Really liked the team I worked with. It was really, really good vibes. And I really enjoyed it. It was much more international than I had at IBM, which I was craving a little bit. It was really cool. That's sort of my time at Meta.
Agreed on what you say about failure. I think failing fast, we should kind of live by, just because failing means you're learning. So if you're failing fast, you're learning fast as well.
Yeah, it's the same thing as like moving abroad. It's scary. What's the worst going to happen? I think that's even more, people feel that even more on their career. And I do feel that to an extent as well. But again, in the grand scheme of things, we're going to be working for quite a long time, most of us, right? So spending 2 years at trying something out is, I would say, definitely worth it, especially if you've already got some experience under your belt. Don't be scared to try new stuff, try different career paths. The last thing you want is to do a career for 40 years that you don't like. It doesn't have to be that way.
Can you explain us what you're doing now?
Yes. So I currently work in the analytics team. Analytics is a term which is essentially leveraging data for insights, I would say. So the role I do is very hands-on. I spend, I would say, 80% of my time coding at the moment, which is very different from what I was doing before, and presenting data analysis insights, etc. So we work very closely with the leadership team. So if they have a problem that needs solving, let's say they are thinking, oh, should we buy this? Should we expand there? We take that problem, dissect it, and we find the right data. We do some analysis, some fitting, etc. Most of it is quite math related. And then you present those back to the stakeholders. So there are some skills I've learned from in consulting and Meta that are always present, because you have to present to senior leadership, but it combines the technical element as well. So it's moving a lot more back into the direction of like individual contributor work, which is something I wanted to do for a while, just really get back into the meat of things. I would say that is not just coding. There's many tools you can use for that. There is more visualization tools, such as you probably heard of Tableau, Power BI, but then there's a lot of that happens in the back end. So staging data, doing more detailed analysis, doing maybe regressions or fittings, things like that. That is then more akin to the development part of it. And do I want to do this for the rest of my life? I don't know. I'm really enjoying it at the moment, right? So yeah, that's great. The industry is also quite different. It's automated trading. So on the stock market, which I knew nothing about. So the learning curve was very steep. But I don't think it really matters what industry you do. I really try to think, okay, what type of job am I going to do? What type of thinking am I going to do? And do I like the environment around me? And I think the last part is like, I really, really love my colleagues. They're very smart. They're very hardworking, but the hours are not crazy. So I have the really good balance where you're doing interesting, challenging work that doesn't require you to work 80 hours per week. And I think that's, for me, is a perfect fit, at least, because it does tend to happen where you pick very challenging jobs, require you to almost give up your life to just stand to that.
Full circle moment where we're going back to your definition of success, right?
That's very important for me. I really, really do try to apply that in my, it can sometimes be hard. Not to, for instance, I had an interview and I knew that the work hours were very intense. I knew I would love, really like the job, but it didn't marry with my version of success. And I knew that in the end, I would not be happy. And I'm not saying you should never do this. Like, if you're hungry and young, it's okay to do this for a year or two. But I'm saying you don't have to. And you don't fall in this trap of doing this continuously, because there will always be a very exciting, challenging opportunity, right? There will always be there. So really try to balance the two. And if you do want to do that, I would say, yeah, maybe do it earlier in your career rather than later. We live in a society where, especially lately, like this hustle culture is becoming very prevalent. And these things need to be looked at into perspective. At the end of the day, it's about your happiness, right? So how can you make yourself happy now and tomorrow? So try to accomplish both. Yeah.
Thank you for this brilliant advice, Lawrence. And again, it goes back to, are you sharing the same version of success than Lawrence? And if you are, think about it before seizing this new opportunity. Try to understand what's the work culture within the company you're applying for. Reach out to the people working there. Reach out to the people who left the company. Ask the questions to allow you to make the best decision for yourself. And to highlight something else that Lauren said, don't stick to one industry. If you have transferable skills, go for that new opportunity. That might match your new version of success at a different age, different stage of your life.
Yeah, completely agree.
Here we go. Last question. What is your last piece of advice for the people listening to us?
I've said it many times. My one advice is do hard things, like try hard things. Especially it's something that's giving me the most results. That doesn't mean you have to succeed. But like coming to London as well, it was hard, but I was just saying yes to everything. My first job was saying yes to everything, and it does give a lot back. So I would say try to do hard things. It is usually rewarding. It will give you a sense of satisfaction and will help you out in the long term. And secondly, look after yourself today as well. And don't just think about tomorrow. Yeah, that's it really. I know we've touched on it a few times, but.
Do take care of yourself. We'll never say it enough. Thank you so much, Lawrence, for everything that you shared with us today.
No, happy to be here and curious to listen to the episode.
Thank you for listening, and I cannot wait to hear your thoughts about this new episode, and I cannot wait to share the recap next week. So I'll see you soon.